I'm Kara. I figured since she introduced me, I didn't need to. But I'm Kara. My sister came to Bethany about 7 years ago and came to know the Lord here. She was praying for me in that time and ministering to me. And I didn't want any part of it. Sorry, guys. I was years and years battling with drugs and love of money. And I just didn't want any part of the Lord. And I'm sorry. I didn't grow up in a godly-centered home. We knew of the Lord, but it wasn't an everyday thing. I didn't have a relationship at all with the Lord, and I was not walking with him for a long time. And I don't know, about a year ago, I don't really know. I just lost the desires of earthly things, and just had a desire to come to church. So I asked my sister if I could come to church with her. Of course, she was very happy for me to come. And I battled with anger, and for a very long time, I just was angry all the time, irritated. So within like the third sermon in, I'd say like I noticed first of all that I was really engaged in the sermon instead of not being bored with it. And so after that, like at work, I noticed that things that would normally frustrate me and irritate me, like, they were just rolling off my shoulders, and I just started thanking the Lord and praising the Lord, and I asked him into my heart, and all of that stuff went away. My cussing, my anger, my frustrations, I was happy. And yeah, so there's been a lot of change. I've not ever really been very responsible with money, and like for the first time ever in my life, I'm saving money. I'm I'm what? Almost debt free. And I'm just like I'm learning to have right relationships. To be open and vulnerable to people and just grow really good relationships through that. It was a struggle. There was, you know, I'm battling, I'm dying to my old self and becoming new, so it was a battle, even though I know the Lord put it on me, like, in my heart too, that I needed to seek help for all that stuff. It was a battle at first. So I've quit smoking. So I was going through that transition and learning to be open with somebody about my financials. And I was really like kind of going, I know it was probably my own sinful desires and the enemy trying to convince me, you know, that, just to go back to my old ways and just to give up on that stuff. But I was really struggling with confidence in that period and just fighting to not go my own way. And there was a passage that just kept coming to me in different ways through Bible study and I'm not really sure where else, a couple different times, but it was during actually a movie that I watched, and it was really a bad day that day, and the movie really, I couldn't really tell you if the movie was really good or bad, but it was the scripture at the end of the movie that got me, and that is Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin.
There we go. Perfect.
We drift away from. Wait a minute. We're
12:1-2.
Okay.
Oh, you're in Hebrews.
Hebrews 12. Though. Sorry, ladies. Okay. I think I could
we
have got
this.
It.
We got this. We can flip pages.
I could have probably got right. it, but now, okay. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And yeah, that just became so clear that he was. Speaking to me and telling me, you know, telling me he's there, basically. So, yeah, that got me through those times. I'm doing well now. I'm pretty much debt-free, like my sister said. I've quit smoking. I've lost desires. And I'm actually going to be going on the New York mission trip. So there's a lot of things he's doing in me, and I'm excited. Sorry for the not being prepared. But here, I'm going to let my sister talk.
So. You did great. Yes. You did great. Maybe. I cried on my way here. So. Hey, I told my sister we needed a heart of worship. He totally prepared me on the way here. I am Kaylee Ogorji. A lot of you here know me, but for those of you that don't, probably not that girl in the back, but. So I attend here, Bethany Baptist Church, and I am a mom of almost a 2-year-old, which is just insane, little girl, and a wife, I guess I should say that first. That preceded being a mom. I work part-time. I clean a HVAC company a couple mornings a week, and I clean nursery toys here at Bethany. So, yeah, I stay pretty busy, but that's a little bit about me. And my reason for being here today, as Christy shared already, I truly believe that God was calling me to come here and speak, which means that one, if not all, at least one of you, God has something to say to you. And I'm just a vessel that he's choosing to speak through this morning. So that is why I'm here. I have some bullet points because I'm really bad at staying on track. I hope that he uses me to speak to your hearts, whether that be remind you or deliver you for the first time, maybe deliver you through some current bondages you're struggling with. I just hope that he can use me to encourage and strengthen you wherever you are. Come to know him for the first time. So let me tell you how I came to know him. This is truly just, God is the author of the great story. This is just my part in his story. So it's always hard for me to say, and I know I'm so literal with wording, but I always hate saying my story because it's his story. It's just my part in his story that he graciously gave me. So a little bit of background. I did not come from a Christian home, as my sister said. My mom would say that we were Christian, but it's more like kind of that Americanized view of, oh yeah, we're American, we're Christian, you know, maybe we went to church sometimes on Christmas and Easter. I knew of Jesus. I, you know, knew that he died on the cross. I had heard the gospel, that he died on the cross for our sins. It was a very generalized view. Like, okay, Jesus died on this cross for all of our sins. It was never really personal to me. And I never really understood truly what it meant to be Christian or, like, why Jesus was such a big deal to some people. Like, I had a cousin who was Christian, and I'm like, why is she such, like, a Jesus freak? Just never really made sense to me. But, yeah, so that was kind of my spiritual background. I would tell you that I was Christian. I believed there was a God, but I didn't really know that you could know him or had the desire to know him is kind of where I was. We had a lot of freedom growing up in our household. My mom raised my sister and I, and then we have a brother who's 2.5 years older than us. And she worked a lot because she was trying to raise 3 kids on her own. And then in her spare time, she wanted a break from life, and she'd go out with her friends and, you know, that kind of thing, go to the bars and stuff. And so we just really did whatever we wanted with whoever we wanted. And God bless my mom. I don't even know, like, how she did it. Like, I struggle as a mother of one child with a husband, with Jesus. I have no idea how my mom did it on her own with 3 terrible children and no Jesus, but she did it. And so I think about that all the time. Like, this is crazy. So anyway, made a lot of bad choices. To summarize, basically from 12 to 21 were just, like, very life-destructive choices. I had made myself God of my life. I did whatever I wanted, and it resulted in a Great Depression. And that's actually what I call it, a little play on the words. But I call it the Great Depression because it resulted in me coming to know the Lord. And so fast forward to 21. I kind of was coming out of the party scene, like, okay, that wasn't it. Like, we all have a longing in our hearts. And I don't know, maybe you're here today and you still have that longing. You haven't truly found what fills that longing. But we were all created with this longing, and it's to draw us to Jesus, the only one who can truly fulfill that longing. And so I tried everything imaginable, relationships, drugs, work, pleasing people. I was such a people pleaser. I've tried everything that the world offers us, and nothing was filling that. So I decided at about 22, I met a guy, and he was kind of had his life together, most responsible person kind of that I had surrounded myself with in my life. Usually most people were like me, made bad choices and partied and stuff. So he kind of inspired me to make better choices with my life, that, like, okay, I don't have to live this way. There's no, that me doing all this crazy stuff is not it. There's something else out there. So I decided to go back to school and kind of do what the world tells you, right? Like, clean my life up, get a career, get married, you know, these things. So I'm kind of on that path now. The other paths weren't working. And I started nannying while I was going through school. And like I said, I was a big people pleaser. I still struggle with it, but through God, he has grown me a lot and still growing me. I nannied for 2 families, a total of 5 kids. And they kind of took advantage. I hate saying, like, I'm not a victim, and I hate, this is always a hard way to for me to word it, because I'm so literal with my words, like I told you. But, so I allowed it because people will take what you allow, basically. Two people will take what they can get. And so I basically was overworked and underpaid, and I just basically, yeah, let them treat me however. And it slowly started to destroy me. I hated who I had become. I hated the way I was living and why I was allowing them to treat me the way they were treating me. And so it started to, oh, by the way, the guy that I had met, we started dating. And so I had been dating him throughout this time of me going to school. And so I started, things started to fail. Like, I was taking out the feelings that I was having on the people around me, that I, like, my loved ones, the guy I was dating, my mom, and because I, at the time, had moved back in with my mom, and anyway, yeah, it was just coming out, manifesting itself in all kinds of ways, and so I had a lot of things failing. Relationships, I slowly started to fail in school because I was overworked and just doing too much. And I started, this is the beginning of coming to the end of myself. I was like, okay, this is not the answer either, you know. So then, yeah, I entered into the Great Depression. The last straw, so I stopped dating the guy I had dated for 6 years at that time. Thought I was going to marry him. Our relationship ended. Quite a few relationships had problems, but the last straw was my relationship with my mom. Like I said, I had moved back in with her. What my sister didn't share with you is she has a daughter, and her daughter is now going to be 19 or 20. Oh my God, that's crazy. So it's insane. But so my sister got pregnant when she was 15, 16 when she had my niece. And my mom raised her. I'm nervous too, but. My mom raised her. And so I was like very, I don't know the word. Like, I was very engaged with my niece, with her upbringing. My mom relied on me a lot for help and support and stuff. And so I kind of started overstepping boundaries a lot. I think now, looking back, I think there were triggers going off. Like, I was reflecting on how my mom raised me. Because in that Great Depression, mind you, entering it right now. Anyway, I blamed my mom a lot. Like, I was misplacing blame. The problem was outside of me where I was at, and I had blamed my mom a lot for, like, the things that she had allowed that resulted, where I was at in my life, it was her fault, because how she raised me, basically, is how I was thinking. And so I'd see things that she'd allow with my niece, and then I'd, like, try and stop it, but I was, like, overstepping boundaries majorly. So anyway, it transpired into a big fight, and I ended up moving out of my mom's house, and that was the last straw for me. Enter the depression, and basically where I was is I was questioning all the things of life, like, what's my purpose? Why am I living? I never actually thought about committing suicide, but I don't think I was too far from committing suicide, like, not committing, but, like, having those thoughts. And so I started crying. I mean, I started praying. And for the first time in my life, though, like, I was pouring my heart out. I know, looking back, I was crying out for the Lord. And maybe some of you have, like, thought those questions and haven't found the answer, and I'm getting to the answer now, so bear with me. Yeah, I was just in a really dark place. I wanted change. I didn't think it was possible for someone like me. And yeah, I kind of call it stuck in the muck. I didn't know what my problem was, didn't know what the solution was. Started praying, and God came in. Like, I think back to this time all the time when I'm looking for encouragement. The power and the might, he is so mighty to save. He heard my cry, and he put a woman in my life. And she came here to Bethany, very involved in women's ministry. And so I was cleaning houses on the side. I was trying to get out of this nanny situation because I knew I needed to get out of this toxic thing. And so I was praying for guidance, like a mother-like figure, and some houses to clean because I knew I needed to get out of that. Well, puts a woman in my life through house cleaning. She lived across the street from a woman who I cleaned for, but they had never met, but somehow she heard that she had a cleaner and got my information, and we got connected. And immediately when I got, her and I were talking on the phone, I felt drawn to her. I was like telling her things I had never told people, pouring my heart out over the phone. I couldn't wait to clean this woman's house, and that was not typically my response. So I was like, so I got there, and she was just scoping me out. You know, we would make the bed together. I would go every week. First thing, we'd make the bed together, and she's just scoping me out, asking me all these questions. And it didn't take long. She started inviting me to church, Bible study, her small group. And I wanted to go. For the first time in my life, it wasn't to please that person and then, like, oh, duck and dodge them, like, pretend like I, you know, forgot about the invitation or whatever. I really wanted to go. So started going, and there was something different about being here. Now I know it was the love of God. But, like, I just felt so, I felt his presence being here and going to all the other things she was inviting me to. And then that's going on. I think it was like 3 weeks in or 4 weeks, something like that, and she invited me to breakfast. She wanted to talk about my spiritual background. And I was like, I remember driving home and I'm like, okay, we're going to go to breakfast. I have no idea what we're going to talk about because I had no idea what a spiritual background was. But I was like, we're going to breakfast. That's all I know. So we went to breakfast, and three things stuck out at me. So what time do I have to be done by? Okay, sorry. I should be done. Three things stuck out at me. First thing she asked me, one of the things that stuck out to me was, if God were to ask me, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? And I remember thinking, that's a great question. I have no idea. Like, I have never thought about that, literally. Like, so that just really got my gears going. And then the second thing she said to me was, she was sharing her testimony, and she had made a statement about, we are not made to live life alone. And I remember that where I was in my depression was people were the problem. Because remember, I was trying to place that blame somewhere. And it was always the people or circumstance. And I was like thinking, doesn't she know people are the problem? If people would just leave me alone, my life would be fine. Like, duh. So that's kind of where I was. And so then I'm thinking more about that, and like, what does she mean by that? And so then the third thing was that she asked me my doubt. And my doubt that I struggled with, I didn't understand why innocent kids came into the world and suffered. Because in my mind, I thought kids were innocent. And I'm like, why is there abuse and neglect and, you know, so on and so forth, diseases and whatnot. And basically, why do bad things happen to good people, right? And she said, you know, Kaylee, that's a really good question. I'd like to do some research and have you over at my house in a couple days, and we're going to talk about this. And I remember thinking, what? This Bible lady doesn't have all the answers? Because, like, in my mind, I thought, my perspective back then, guys, please be gracious and kind to me. I had a very wrong perspectives. But I remember thinking, I thought Christian ladies had their lives together, they knew everything. That's kind of, I now know that was so wrong, beyond wrong. Yeah, so anyway, so she, but God really used that. And I do want to stop and take a minute just to say, if you ever have an opportunity to speak into people's lives and they're sharing their doubts with you and you don't know the answer, that's okay. God can really use that. Say that to them. Because for me, it showed me she cared and she really wanted to help me. You know, it wasn't like, it was a good thing. God used it. So go to her house in a couple days and we open up the Bible. And we went through, that's where I learned, you know, that God created everything good. And obviously something happened because all things are not perfect and good like they were in the beginning. And through the disobedience of man, sin and death entered the world. And that, for me, that was the moment of, that was my aha moment, the power of God's word. It was just like, oh, that's my problem. My sin is my problem. Like, it wasn't an overall general thing. It became very personal. Like, the problem is not people, my circumstances. It's what's in me. That's my biggest problem. The solution part, I it didn't happen right in that moment, but for the next 2 days, God was kind of what I call my walk with God. I think it's the closest thing I'll experience to what Adam and Eve experienced here, like walking through the garden. He was just blowing me up, and light bulbs were going off. He was revealing himself to me, just like in my mind, you know, speaking to my heart, basically. And it was like, okay, wow, okay, for 2 days. And then there was like a small piece of my life that I was trying to drag with me. It was like I knew everything was about to change, and I was scared. And that small piece was a childhood friend. She was going through a separation at the time, and I was well-meaningly trying to talk her out of it and drag her to church with me and overstepping boundaries again. And we had some words one night on the phone. And that's when God made it clear. It was like, Kaylee, this is you and I. Like, this is just me and you here. And so I was like, I cried out. I said, God, I need you. Like, yeah, save me, basically. And so it was immediate transformation for me. Like, I, too, had a smoking habit, potty mouth. I remember telling my small group, like, I cuss, and I, when I'm with you guys, I don't, and when I'm out in the world, I do, and ever since that, the power of just speaking that out and naming it, I have never cussed since. Yeah, he just took all my desires from me and gave me a desire for him like no other, and I mean, I was growing, like, so tremendously fast in that first probably year. I remember Steve Hornbrook, some of you probably know him here, but I used to tell him, like, I'm just so confused. And he's like, I was trying to explain to him, like, what I was going through. And he's like, Kaylee, it sounds like you're having culture shock. And I was like, yeah, that's probably what I'm having. I don't know. Because it was like everything I had ever believed in my life was wrong. You know, I had just all this wrong thinking. And it was, so yeah, God is so good, and he is so faithful, and so I do just want to say a few things. So that is how he, you know, that's how I entered into relationship with Jesus. That's how I was born again, or saved. We have so many different ways to say it, but he continues to transform me, and he continues to grow me, and I just wanted to... before, when they were asking people to share their testimony, like, it kind of came on my heart to share, and then I was like, I don't have anything to offer them. Like, I'm in this season, I'm calling my whirlwind season, and I just, I keep thinking I'm coming out of it, and then, because I'm not growing those leaps and bounds like I was, right? And I keep looking back to the beginning and like, I'm not learning something about God every day or whatever, you know? It's just been, it's been really a hard season for me, honestly. I just real quickly, for any of you that don't know, I got married really fast and had a child really fast. I thought I was going to stay single because my mind before I was saved on dating was so different, like so secular. And then when I came to know the Lord, I was so scared that any guy was going to pull me away from him, and I didn't want that. So it was like I just had a hunger for him. I really had no desire to date. And then boom. God just dropped this man in my life, and next thing I know, literally, I started dating in February, asked me to marry him in May, got married in August, pregnant in September. I mean, it was fast, so it's been a lot of change really fast, and I was 34 years old, so I was really independent. Like, I'm learning how independent I was, so it's just been a struggle. And it's been a fight to just be grateful and remember who God is. And yeah, so I didn't think I had anything to offer you guys, but it's not about who I am. It's about who God is. And he is an amazing God that is so faithful. And I'm just going to remind you of that. And for anyone here who wants to know more about this God, please come talk to me, because I would love to tell you more about how you can know this God. And there was something else I wanted to share. I lost it, and I can't see because I got tears in my eyes. But just a couple of things that he's taught me is, like, even through moments and just being in the Word, when we find the time to be in the Word and just finding ways to seek him. It says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all of your heart, and he is proved to me time and time again how true that is. I'm learning that I have been being mastered by my emotions, and so cool, timely how the emotions came into that, because God was teaching me that, and then boom, they come and talk about emotions and here at moments. And then also I've picked up that people-pleasing thing in my marriage, and I'm like trying to be this wife that I think my husband expects me to be. And anyway, so God's really teaching me through that, like, that just to trust him and to depend on him. He has continuously reminded me this past month. I did a quick research because I'm reading through the Bible, and I wanted to see how many times did God remind the Israelites that I am the God that brought you out of Egypt, because it's said over and over and over again. And I just changed the word Egypt to slavery because I was never in Egypt, but I was in slavery. And so 87 times it said, and I could be corrected because it was just a quick Google search. So I don't know if that's accurate, but I know it's said a lot. And why that speaks to me so much is because I think back to when I shared with you that I poured my heart out, and I didn't know what my problem was, but God did. And he heard me, and he cared, and he led me to himself. He showed me the way. Where there is no way, he makes a way. And he is that God still. He does not change. And I can trust that no matter where I'm at in my whirlwind season. There is a scripture. There was a couple scriptures that I've not shared, but I'm going to share this one, and then I'll be done, I promise. And I was reading this just like a week ago, and it says in 2 Corinthians, or no, Proverbs 10:25, when the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. And that just really hit me. It's like, oh yeah, my feet are on the solid rock. Even in this whirlwind. And he keeps reminding me of that. So, sisters, I hope that your feet are on the solid rock. And if not, please come talk to me. I'd love to tell you how to get them there. Love you guys. Thank you for my unprofessional, bearing with me with my unprofessionalness. All right, bye.